Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, well, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We certainly had a lively discussion on the broadcast yesterday, and I think a very important discussion about the role of the law in a believer's life and the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And if you really read what the Word of God has to say, especially the New Testament, you have to come to the conclusion that it draws that we are no longer under the law. Here's what Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians. Before the coming of this faith, we were held custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So he said, even before that, the Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Mm-hmm. So we were locked up under the control of sin. Law was the thing that held us captive, but sin was the real issue. The law is simply kind of the bars that hold us there.
Yeah.
And then faith comes. And once faith has come, then something happens to us. We're released from that jail cell, and we walk into freedom. And in this freedom, we are now controlled by the grace of God. We are controlled by the Spirit of God. We are living by faith in Jesus Christ. So the law was our guardian. This is what he says in Galatians 3:24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So when we were lost, we weren't operating by faith. We were under the control of sin, and we had law there to help manage that. But there comes a point in time where we have to be set free. And that point in time is when Jesus is revealed in our lives. And when Jesus is revealed in our lives, revealed to us, then we have an opportunity to exercise faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the message concerning Christ. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So when Jesus is introduced to us, we are raised to walk in the newness of life. What's that newness of life? Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the way we live as believers today. And that is such an important thing for us to grasp, isn't it?
Oh, it is. The reality that Jesus not only could have fixed the problem in the first place, death, burial, and resurrection, but then by the indwelling Holy Spirit, inform us from the inside out, and impact our thinking and our choosing in such a way as to free us from all that sin and to let us walk by faith now. It's you know, where sin was the guardian, now we're dealing with the parent. We're actually dealing with our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, and that is, by definition, a much closer relationship and a much more successful one.
Yeah, and the other side of that is the law was a shadow.
Yes.
It was a finger pointing forward to a reality that we could experience through faith in Christ. It wasn't the reality.
No.
It was simply pointing us toward the reality. Now that Jesus is here, we have the real thing.
Uh-huh.
We have the real person living inside of us. That's what happens when we come to Christ. Christ comes to take up residence in us. He's alive, living in us. So every day I walk by faith in Him. And so I get the actual experience of loving Him with my whole heart and then loving others. So the law couldn't give us that experience.
Yeah.
It could just sketch it out for us as to what it might look like. And it sketched it out in a negative way. So if you're loving others, if you're loving your wife, you're not committing adultery. Now, what if You know, you get married and you say, okay, loving my wife means not committing adultery. So every day you wake up and say, I can't commit adultery because that wouldn't be loving to my wife.
Uh-huh.
And that's on your mind. And every person that you see throughout the day, you think, gosh, I can't commit adultery with her because that wouldn't be loving my wife. And then you go home at night and say, honey, let me show you just how much I love you. Let me tell you, I had the opportunity to commit adultery 3 times today, but I didn't.
I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And that's how much I love you.
Is the doghouse clean?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to go over too well. And you might not even be worthy enough for the doghouse. You might have to go somewhere else. But that's not going to go over so well. But that's all the law can do, is to tell you not to commit adultery.
Yeah.
It cannot teach you how to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's why we need the Spirit of God living inside of us. That's why we need Christ.
Yeah.
And so as we trust Christ, we start learning how to love our wives as Christ has loved us. And just by nature, that's not going to include adultery. We're not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
We're thinking totally about our wives. We learn to love our neighbor. And as Christ is teaching us how specifically to love our neighbors, to serve them, to meet their needs, we're not thinking about how to take what's theirs and make it ours.
Mm-hmm.
We're not thinking about stealing from them or coveting what they have. We're already content in Christ. So we are free to reach out and serve others in love.
Yes.
That's what this new covenant life is all about. And that's why we have to realize that we are no longer under the law, but under grace. We are under the influence, the empowering work of Jesus Christ himself. We're going to take a trip to Israel in February, and a lot of our listeners are joining us on that trip. And by the way, we still have room. If that's something that you're interested in, go to our website, basicgospel.net, and take a look at the events tab and get all the information. Come join us. But here's an illustration. You know, we can buy picture books of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you flew all the way over to Israel, checked in your hotel room, and there's a picture book, and you decided that for the rest of your time there, you were simply going to look at the picture book? What would people think of you? You're nuts. You're crazy.
Yes.
The real thing is out there. Why look at a picture of Mount Carmel when you can go and see it and actually stand on top of it? Why look at pictures of Nazareth when you can actually walk through the town and mingle with the people and actually sit in a synagogue like Jesus would have sat in? Why just look at pictures of Golgotha or Gordon's tomb when you can actually go and see it and go into that empty tomb where Jesus' body may have laid? Why would you want to look at pictures when you could see the real thing?
Yeah.
And that's the story of this message. Why would you simply want to look at pictures of what the Christian life could be instead of experiencing the real thing through faith in Jesus? You've got the real thing living in you. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is better than anything that you can imagine. And your only responsibility is simply to trust him. That's why this is such a glorious life that we can have, in simply trusting Jesus to live his life in and through us.
844-322-2742. Time and open lines. Again, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, everybody, where you hear the good news every day. We had some good news come in just earlier this week. A generous donor has offered a $5,000 challenge grant to inspire more of our friends to support Basic Gospel. Your gift this month will have double impact and reach even more people with God's life-transforming grace. Join with us, friends, and take advantage of this great opportunity by donating to Basic Gospel today. You can do so by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And as our thanks for your gift this month, we're going to send you our brand new 2-CD series called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Thanks for your help.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start out in Livermore, California, and talk with our friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I share your passion on this issue of law and grace, and agree that you're either under the law lost or you're under grace saved. And I don't know whether you've touched on this verse or not, but Paul also writes in Galatians 5:4 that you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, demonstrating that if you're under the law, you're not under grace.
Yeah, it's a pretty black and white thing, isn't it? There are no gray areas in this. And I think that's what the writers of the New Testament really want us to see, that you're either lost, dead, under the law, or you're saved, alive, under grace. There is no in-between. And we were all dead, lost, under the law at one point, but by grace we have been saved, and now we're fully alive in Christ. Christ is fully alive in us, and we operate by that grace that has been poured out upon us and in us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So it's grace that saves, it's grace that sustains, it's grace that moves us in our everyday lives. So that's the life of a believer. Now, those who are trying to be justified through obedience to the law, they're relying on human effort. They think they have what it takes to become righteous in the sight of God. And you know what they call that? They call that pride. And,
yes.
And a prideful heart will never receive the grace of God. So
that's why God hates pride.
That's exactly right. He wants to pour out his grace upon us, but a prideful heart is going to say, no, I don't want it. A prideful heart, here's this grace pouring down in Jesus. A prideful heart puts up an umbrella and says, I don't want it to touch me.
No.
I can do this on my own.
Yeah, and furthermore, I believe that in part that's what it means to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, that he fulfilled the law and that God's no longer judging you based upon the law, but by your belief in Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right, William. That is the key issue. Everybody who stands before the Lord, the question is, what did you do with my son? That's the key issue, isn't it? If you rejected him and relied upon your own works as a means for gaining salvation, you have no case, because everything was wrapped up in Jesus. And if you believe Jesus, you have life. If you don't believe Jesus, you don't have life. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I praise Jesus for the clarity that comes across from your ministry.
Well, thank you so much, William, and thank you for being passionate about this, because it is the truth that sets people free. I mean, the story of Christianity is the story of a mixed message. We believe we're saved by grace, and then once we're saved, we live our lives by works, through obedience to the law. So we're mixing law and grace. And
yeah, that's not a light burden and an easy yoke, is it?
No, it's not. There's
you've been there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, wait.
Experience. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for your call, William. Always good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to our friend Chris in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask today about, what do you do when you're trying to point someone to grace, and then after the fact, after you've had your discussion, something comes to your mind that you could have said better, something that theoretically it's like, oh, I wish I had said that. That would have been so great to say at that time. You guys are really active in pointing people to grace, and I wanted to ask if that's ever happened to you, and if so, or even if not, what do you do about it?
Well, Chris, I think you just say what God has put on your mind to say at any particular moment. You tell people about Jesus. You tell people about his finished work on the cross. You tell people that he's alive, that he was raised from the dead, and that through faith in him that you can be made alive as well. And you want to say that as clearly as you can, but once you've said it, you leave the results in the Lord's hands. We can't convert, we can't save, we can't change, we don't have that power. God has just said, I want to use you to help make him known. And so that's a privilege, but conversion, life transformation, salvation, that's God's work. And so we leave those results in his hands. I remember a long time ago, there was somebody that came in for counseling, and I sat down with this person and listened to their situation and kind of pinpointed the problem and started talking to that person about how to get help and how the gospel message was really the answer. Several weeks later, this person called me up and said, Bob, this has been so helpful, and boy, I've finally seen that God really loves me, and you could tell things had clicked for this person. They had really had a moment of clarity as far as the gospel was concerned. And as that person was telling me, I was thinking, well, I know exactly what I said that brought about the change. And so I said, well, tell me what brought about the change, expecting to hear the fabulous line that I had laid out. And this person recalled something in our conversation that I had totally forgotten that was even said. And that's the way it is. We don't know what's going to actually connect with somebody, but God does. And so if we will just simply speak and speak the words of Jesus, lift him up and leave the results in God's hands, I think that will take all the burden off our shoulders and the anxiety out of our hearts. Could we say things better? Sure, we could say things better, but ultimately God even takes things that we said in the way we said it and uses it for his glory and his purposes, and we can just trust him with that.
Yeah, I find it rather ironic and painful that those of us who teach grace like this can sometimes fall into the excruciating legalism of asking after the fact, did I say it correctly? That's just Satan pounding on us and getting us to go back into a performance mentality that has no part in this message. Just say what God gives you to say. If you say something wrong, you said something wrong. If it was really wrong, the person will say something to you right then. You can apologize for it, and you move on, because God's the one who's communicating with those people, not us.
Yep. Bob, I really like that example you shared. And in fact, when you started speaking, the verse in 1 Corinthians 2 came to my mind, where Paul says that he resolves to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, so that their faith would rest on the power of God and not on human wisdom. So that was pretty cool. So thank you guys. As always, appreciate you pointing people to Jesus, making yourselves so available, and you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yeah. Hey, you do the same, Chris. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, you know, we're going to go talk to Sandra here in Dallas in just a moment, but friends, want to remind you that we've just gotten the news of a generous donor leaving offering a gift of $5,000. It's a challenge grant to encourage more of our friends to support the basic gospel message. Your gift this month will double the impact and reach even more people with the life-transforming grace of God. We hope you'll join with us, friends, and take advantage of this opportunity to double your gift by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you our brand new CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. That's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, Bob, let's kind of ask a question today. For those people listening to the broadcast today, will 50 of you kind of respond to this challenge and go to basicgospel.net and make a contribution through our online giving page? That would be so meaningful to us. and will be a big help in advancing this good news to many more people around the world. So we had this one donor that gave a $5,000 matching grant. So can we get 50 people today to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and make a gift today? That would be so meaningful. And please do it now. It's an easy form to fill out. It is just a piece of cake. So go to Basic Gospel right now, click donate, and follow all the instructions.
That's just a great idea.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Dallas and talk with Sandra, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, we're doing fine, but my husband lost his job 3 months ago. He has been looking, nothing comes. We are just waiting for God to send something, and we know he will provide, but we have some debt, and we still have to pay the mortgage and a lot of stuff. So we are going to sell a house that we have, a little property. And some people tell me that with that money, I should pay my debt and keep the rest to support my family while my husband finds a job. But my question is, should I still need to give the 10% of that to church? Or because some people tell me no, use it and get out of debt, and after that you continue doing giving to church. But I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, Sandra, let's see if we can help clear up some of that confusion. First and foremost, that's a decision that you and your husband make, how you want to use that money from the proceeds from that sale. That is totally up to you and your husband. Now, I'm sure that you and your husband will lean on the Lord, will ask for wisdom, and as you do, you're going to get some wisdom, and you will be able to figure out how you want to use that money and where it's necessary to use it and how to use it. So that's between you and your husband. So I would encourage the two of you to sit down and say, what are we going to do with this? And come up with a game plan, and then follow that game plan. Have the courage to follow that game plan. And you're going to hear a lot of different people telling you a lot of different things as to what you should do with your money. Well, it's not their money, so they need to stay out of it. So you and your husband, you make the decision, knowing that you have that property, and it was, God arranged for that, so you can trust him with what to do.
Yeah.
The second thing, as far as giving is concerned, you're a new covenant believer. You're not an old covenant believer. Tithing was something under the law. They were to bring in grains and all of those sort of things into the storehouse to support the Levitical priesthood. That was a requirement, an obligation. But now Jesus has come. He has fulfilled that old, and he has brought in the new. In this new, you are encouraged to be to excel in the grace of giving. And 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 really define what that looks like. And in there, you're not going to see a percentage. You're just going to see attitudes of giving, what the Spirit of God works in your heart. Now, we have some information on that. Let me put you on hold. I'll send it to you. And once you read it, will you call us back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you hold on, Sandra. We'll get that to you, okay? And thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed.
Hang on.
Friends, I'll remind you as we close the broadcast today that we're sharing the good news of a generous donor stepping forth to offer a $5,000 challenge grant to inspire more of our friends to support this ministry we call Basic Gospel. Your gift this month will have double impact and reach even more people with God's life-transforming grace. And we're asking that 50 of you, our listeners, step up today and go to basicgospel.net, click that donate link, and take advantage of this double opportunity with this $5,000 challenge grant. And when you do, we're going to send you our brand-new CD series, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. That's donate at basicgospel.net. Thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis, and God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will, too. Bye-bye.